Say, preacher, we've got financial difficulty. How's your soul?
Yeah.
You might want to turn me down just a tad, Brother Nick. I'm not sure.
Praise the Lord, brother.
Say, preacher, I've got problems with my health. Yeah, but how's your soul?
Yeah.
I love the story about the circumstances surrounding how that song was written.
Yes.
I believe it was the fellow's name was William Spofford, I believe, who wrote "It Is Well With My Soul." And he had lost his family at sea. And his wife sent a telegram about their children. The ship had gone down. And she said, the note said, "Saved alone."
Amen.
And the story said that when he was sailing over to meet his wife, when the ship reached the place where the ship had went down, where he lost his children, said the captain came over and told him that this was where his children were, beneath the sea. And there on the sides of that ship, he penned those words, or God gave him those words, it's well with my soul.
Amen.
I'm glad the Lord has taught us to say, it's well with my soul.
Amen.
I'm glad we can walk into the midst of a funeral home with broken hearts, but yet lift up our hands and say, it's well with my soul. I sat in the funeral Sunday afternoon for my good friend Roger Cole, and boy, I'll miss him and a lot of good fond memories. And remember how he took the Bible and showed me things from the Word of God, and I just sat there in the back of that funeral home and just watched as his little wife lifted her hands. You know what that was? That was, it's well with my soul. Amen. Thank God. Take your Bible tonight and turn with me to John chapter number 17. John chapter number 17. 16, I'm sorry. John chapter number 16. Just one verse of Scripture tonight and a simple little thought. I've been hearing a lot of statements in the news that's bothering me. I don't want to offend anybody tonight. Whichever way you voted in the presidential election, that's your business. That's between you and God. But if I hear one more time that Obama is going to fix everything, he is a man. I think we are at a place in America, and maybe not just America, but worldwide, where people want to feel safe. We want to feel secure and that somebody's taking care of us. There's nothing wrong with government. God set it up. Amen. I think if you're half the Christian you profess to be, you'll be praying for Mr. Barack Obama every day. Amen? He ought to be way up there, right up under your preacher on your prayer list. Amen? But we ought to pray for him. We ought to pray that God will guide him. Even if he's not seeking God's guidance, God can still guide. Amen? But I'm afraid in America we are grasping at straws. Even when we were children, you know, you remember how it was? If something was wrong or something went bump in the night, it just seemed like everything would be okay if you crawled up in Mama's arms and she'd pet you a little bit and say, it's going to be okay.
Amen.
Well, if a monster was to really come in the house, Mama wouldn't be no match for a monster. But it made you feel better just for somebody to tell you it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, how much better would it be to crawl up in the arms of a bigger monster that loved you?
Yeah.
And said, there's a monster in my room. And that bigger monster said, hey, I'm way bigger than that monster. Don't you worry. We'll knock his one eye right out of his head. Hey, wouldn't you feel that much safer? It's not just enough to hear it's okay, but we need to be in the arms of someone tonight who can show us that it'll be okay.
Amen.
Amen. Tell me it's going to be all right. Preacher, tell me everything's going to work out. Well, if you're saved, it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you know God tonight in a personal way, it is going to be okay. You say, preacher, are you saying the economy's going to, everything's going to get better? No, I can't promise you that, and neither can Obama. Amen. Neither could McCain. They both ran on a platform of telling people what they wanted to hear. I want to show you the difference between government leaders and Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will tell you the truth whether it wins him a vote or not. Are we listening tonight? He'll tell you like it is whether you agree with it or not. He never spoke out of both sides of his mouth. He was never one thing to this crowd and something totally opposite to this crowd. Hey, every time you saw him, he was just the same. Amen. When the religious leaders came and boy, they tried to make accusation. They tried to trip him up. And brother, he didn't hide who he was. He told them just like it was every time. When Nicodemus came, brother, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and he came in the middle of the night, and Jesus looked at that old religious man and said, "Ye must be born again." I don't care how much religion you got to be born again. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you. I gave Nick the title and I don't even remember what it was, but I think it's something akin to this: secure in Him. You and I can be secure in our salvation. Amen. And I'm not just talking about the doctrine of eternal security. I'm talking about the feeling of protection and the feeling of somebody caring and taking care of us. Amen? I'm glad. Listen, are you secure in Him tonight? We found out how quickly a bunch of them boys I grew up with in Paulding County, it just seemed like every time you shook a bush, a home builder fell out. I don't know how many of them guys I went to high school with became home builders. I saw them driving around in high-dollar automobiles and Corvettes and building great, big, huge houses. And boy, they were all that with their money. That's where their security was. Some of them that grew up as poor as snakes didn't have two nickels to rub together. God blessed them a little bit and they took and placed all their eggs in that one basket. Hey, I'm telling you, you can find out that the money can run out. It can do it. The factory can close. The plant can shut down. The body can fail you. Amen. But I'm glad there's one tonight who never fails. And His name's Jesus. I ain't read no scripture, have I? Look at verse 33, the last verse. Now you got to understand what's going on. The Lord is trying to prepare these guys for what's coming. Amen. Would you agree? Yeah. Just like back a few pages in John chapter number 14, we have the famous scripture, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be." You know what He's trying to do? He's trying to encourage these guys. And here's what He's saying. Everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. If it takes heaven to make it all right, Christian, everything will be all right. Amen. What's the very worst thing that could happen to you? Death? I don't want to die young. I have no desire to. I'd like for me and Angie to get gray-headed together and hold hands in the park and feed the pigeons, or I don't know what old people do. We ain't got there yet, but I'd like for us to be able to grow old together. I'm getting there. She's not. She just stays gorgeous and young and all that. I'm just getting gray. And she loves to point that out. I have no desire to die early. But if I had to, it'd just be heaven. That's all. Sometimes it just almost makes you think bad thoughts. I mean, just almost make you want to go. Brother Robbie, can you imagine no sinus infections? Now, I know we don't have much trouble that, you know, we can always find somebody's hurting worse than we are, but something Brother Robbie and I have to deal with, no head being all stopped up. I'm talking about perfection, man. The very worst thing could happen to us. What I'm trying to say tonight is it will be okay. Here, there, or in the air, it will be okay. Amen. Look at verse number 33. Now, he's trying to encourage these guys and let them know about some things. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have," say the word,
peace.
He said, "Now, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." He didn't say in John McCain. He didn't say in Barack Obama. Come on, talk to me. He didn't say in the Pope. He did not even say in his own dear mother's name, Mary. He said that in me ye might have peace. Now you got to hang on right there just a second. There's a word in there that we need to concentrate on, and that's that word, might. Just because you're saved tonight don't make you at peace. I know a lot of saved people whose heart and mind is in turmoil. I know a lot of saved people that I believe over the years I've known saved people have took their own lives. Yes, sir. I know Christians tonight who aren't at peace. Well, why come if Jesus said, he said might. Whether or not we live in this realm of peace is not up to him, it's up to us. He said, "I've got all this peace, I am peace." He said, "And you can have it if you want it." We can choose to dwell on the nasty now and now. Amen. Somebody said, "You look around and you'll get disgusted." You look around this world, it will disgust you. You look within, it will dishearten you. But if you'll look up, it will deliver you. Amen. He said that ye might have peace. He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Sound like a contradiction, don't it? He said, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Wow. Let's look at our verse again. He said that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. You know what he's saying? In me, you can have that peace. You might have it. It's up to you. But you're going to have to get your thinking right. Remember Sunday night we talked about how the devil is attacking our minds and our thought process. He said, "You might have this peace." He said, "But in the world, you're going to have tribulation." He didn't say he'd take us out of it, but he said he'd give us peace in it. Let me give you a few areas where you can find peace and security in the Lord. Let's back up. We'll just break the verse down a little bit. He said in verse 33, "These things have I," say the next word, "spoken unto you." Listen to me tonight. Number one, we can find security and peace in His counsel. You remember the commercial years ago, and maybe we'll tell our age a little bit. It said it was a financial group or an investment group, E.F. Hutton. And the commercial said, "When E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens." Well, listen to me tonight. When Jesus talks, everybody ought to listen. Why? Because He gives good counsel. He gives good counsel. Listen, He'll never steer you wrong. I have counseling appointments upon counseling appointments. But can't nobody counsel you like He can. Matter of fact, Isaiah said it was one of his names. His name's Counselor. That's who he is. That's his essence. That's what he is. What qualifies him? Well, he possesses all knowledge. He possesses all wisdom and all might. The Bible said that he knows the end from the beginning. Who better yet to get your counsel from than somebody who really knows what tomorrow holds? Somebody, I ain't talking about Jane Dixon in the psychic hotline. You ever noticed, I hadn't seen one of those commercials in years, they used to have where you could dial like a 1-800 number and talk to a psychic. Did y'all know that's witchcraft, by the way? That's voodoo. That's wicked, leave it alone. You'll open a door that you can't shut. But every one of them, if you'll notice, down that they'll scroll across the screen for entertainment purposes only. Now, I don't know about you. When I go for counsel, when I got a problem, it's not entertainment I need. It's not in. Why come they never tell anybody, you're going to die tomorrow? They always tell them something great. I don't never tell them nothing bad. Oh, you got a tumor. Why? Because people don't pay $4 a minute. For you going to get fired tomorrow, amen? Yeah. Tell me something good or I ain't paying you, amen? We can be secure in His counsel. Now, some of you are going to have a little bit of problem with what I'm about to say. He said, but these things have I spoken unto you. That's His counsel. Here's what I'm about to say. Now stay with me. Sometimes it's okay to question God. I've heard preached all my life, just trust and obey, just trust and obey. There's no, that's the truth. What are you saying? It's okay to hunt the answer. It's okay to get on your face and say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know where to find it in the Bible. Sometimes we read the Bible just for daily reading. Sometimes we read for study. But sometimes we ought to be reading for help. Sometimes we ought to be asking God, God, why am I here? What is going on? Why is this taking place? Why are you allowing this to come at me like you are? God, where are you in all of this? Please, a word. Have you ever been going through something and not even on purpose, but by accident? God gave you an answer from His Word. Come on, talk to me. I mean, just in your daily reading, you ain't even really thinking about what it is. You're trying to figure out how to get out of the trouble that you're in. But all lo and behold, right there in black and white, that thing just magnifies itself on the page and you go, man, there it is right there. I don't know at the times I've had people call me on the phone and say, preacher, you ain't going to believe what God showed me. And I've said, look at there. You didn't need me as bad as you thought you did you? Amen. We can find good counsel. Now listen, this world offers every kind of counseling under the sun. Some of it legitimate. Most of it not. Amen. We okay? They've got marriage counselors. They've got counselors for teenagers. They've got counselors for unwed mothers. They've got a counselor for everything. Financial counselors. Did you know God addresses every one of those issues right here in His book? Amen. It's okay to seek advice. And it's okay to get help. But here's what I want you to pay close attention. When that help or that counsel that you're getting from a friend, a family member, or a trained professional, when it don't line up with this, it's bad counsel. When I ask advice from a preacher or a friend and they open with this statement, well, the Bible said, you got my attention. Are y'all okay? Why, preacher? Because it never gives bad counsel. How many of you ever got bad counsel, bad advice? You know you're in trouble when they say, well, bless God, if it was me, I'll tell you what I'd do. You're in trouble right there. You might as well go ahead and tune them out. Well, if that was my wife, I would. Well, it ain't your wife. And if you can't give no better advice than that, you need to hush. Amen. I know one preacher in another state, so I have no worries of you knowing who it is. I counseled with a couple that came from their church. The preacher told the woman to leave the man. I won't go into details, but she had no grounds for a biblical divorce. There was problems in the home, no doubt about it. But years later, I found out from another preacher in that same town who knew this preacher that gave the advice for her to leave her husband. He said, you know why he told that girl to leave that boy, don't you? I said, no. He said, her parents are the wealthiest people in that church. And if he had advised her any other way, they'd have left and went somewhere else. So sometimes, even as preachers, even as friends or family member, our counsel may have an ulterior motive. In other words, he was willing to sacrifice the marriage to keep the cash. What are you saying? When it don't line up, tune it out. Amen. Amen. And I would be very careful about taking counsel that you didn't ask for. We all right? Somebody approaches you and says, can I give you some advice? You probably don't want it. And you probably don't need it. That's somebody who thinks they're all that and they've got the answer to everything. But sometimes, on the other hand, it could just be a good friend and say, hey, I want to help you if you'll listen to me. So you got to learn to discern that. There again, if the counsel goes against this book, we're in trouble. I don't care who it's coming from. I don't care if it's coming from the preacher. I don't care if it's coming from the White House. I don't care if it's coming from the jailhouse if it don't line up with that. It's bad counsel. Everybody in this room, sometime or another, we've gotten bad counsel. But I'll be honest with you, I've never gotten bad counsel from the Lord. Not one time has He ever stirred me in a wrong direction. He's never caused me to make a bad decision. Amen. Said number one, we can find peace and security in His counsel. Then he said, these things have I spoken unto you. Now watch this next statement. He said, that in me you might have peace. We can find peace and safety in His counsel, but we can find peace and safety in His calmness. And we've hit this enough already. I'm just going to bump it and move on. But have you ever been in that situation or that place in your life, like that song, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hath taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I mean, brother, it may have looked dark and dreary on the outside, the storm clouds may be rolling in and you just can't explain it, but you've got this silly grin on your face and there's something down inside your heart causing you to sleep like a baby at night and you know everything's going to be okay. Hey, you know what that is? That's the peace of God. Amen. We ought to treasure that. We ought to treasure that. Amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. Are you at peace? Are you at peace with the Lord? Do you have that peace? Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm a little up and down on it. There's days I do better than others. Can I get a witness? You know what that says to me? We're humans. We're humans. What are you saying, preacher? Yeah, I realize there's days I'm going to worry. There's days I'm going to doubt. There's days I'm going to question. But it's on those days I got to run back to the counselor again and say, I need some more peace. What I had yesterday has run out. That peaceful, deep, settled feeling I had in my soul, it's all gone. And now I'm worried. And now I'm fretful. And now I'm depressed. And now I'm down. I need another dose. Amen. I have been taking Advil every 4 hours. And I can tell you without looking at my watch when it's about time to get it again. Why? Because I don't feel that pain starting to come back. As soon as we feel that uneasy feeling, we ought to start hunting that calmness and that peace. Amen. He said, preacher, I'm out of a job. Brother Rusty, give me a witness. Can you have peace when you're out of a job? Absolutely. Ain't that something? Yeah. Yeah. You can have peace when you're out of a job. Yeah. You can have peace when the paychecks ain't coming in. I'm telling you, brother, you can have peace when the body's ill. You can have peace. Hey, when the things are just flying all to pieces, there is peace. Yeah. And he said, we might have it. He said, we might have it. If you want it. You know what I think a lot of the problem is? We would rather focus on what's wrong than what's right. We're negative by nature. We are. Let me say it again. We are negative by nature. As you age in the Lord, as you grow in grace, you ought to be becoming less negative. But it seems to me some of the older Christians are the most negative. They don't see nothing good about nothing. I had a young preacher went through a difficult time here a couple of years ago, and he and I met together, and he called me today and thanked me for the counsel that I gave him. He said, you know what my problem was? He said, I expected too much out of everybody, including my own self. He said, I set a standard that I couldn't even live up to. We must be careful. Thank God for the calmness. Quit focusing on what's wrong. I know it's hard to do. I know it is. I know it's hard not to look at all the people who are out of jobs and look at the health situations and the different things going on. But there is some good. 9 people got saved here Sunday morning. 9 people got saved Sunday morning. Amen. Yes, hallelujah. And thanks be unto God. Hey, last Sunday night was a week ago. We met out in the gym. I'm talking about us. And we gathered around that table full of bills and got over half of it took care of. We prayed that God would take care of some of this and lift some of the burden and some of the weight off of it. And you know what He did? He used us to do it. Yeah. Who would have ever thought? Amen. I'm telling you, there is some good. Yes. And there's not just some good, there's a whole lot of good. Amen? Amen. We can find peace and safety and security in His counsel, in His calmness. Now notice the next statement. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. While we're seeking His counsel and we're experiencing His calmness, we're going to go through conflict. Remember the illustration? The ups and downs of life? Say, preacher, I'm getting tired of being up on the mountain one day and crash down in the valley. You ever have a great Sunday? I mean a great Sunday, and God just does something great in your family and your life, and then Monday the devil jumps on you both feet? Amen. Come on, talk to me a little bit. Amen. Amen. Remember what we said about the EKG monitor down at the hospital? Them humps in the road? That's life. As long as it's going up and down, we're doing all right. But when it gets like that, something bad wrong. Somebody better get the paddles out. Amen. We're in trouble. We're going to have conflict. That's why Paul said earnestly contend for the faith. That's why he commanded us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is a fight. Amen. Amen. It's a fight. It's a fight for lost people. Man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He didn't say save man born of woman. He said man born of woman. Hey, that's all of us. Everybody got problems, don't we? Everybody's got conflicts. Don't tell me, I didn't ever have no problems before I got saved. You lying. Sure you did. Why? Because that's life. If you didn't, you was living on Fantasy Island somewhere. Amen. Yeah, but if I get saved, shouldn't the Lord take care of all my problems? He's already told you He already did. We're still going to have to walk through them. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We're going to have conflict. But here's the blessing. As a Christian, when we face conflict, the Bible said we have an advocate with the Father. We have a present help in our time of need. As a lost man faces the troubles in life and the difficulties of life, he has to walk through them alone, but you and I are never alone. Jesus said, lo, I'm with you always. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Hey, ain't you glad about it tonight that we ain't got to face the battles of life all by ourselves? We've got some help. I love the message, and I've borrowed it. I started to say stole. I didn't really steal it. I'll give it back. Brother Charles preached one night. It may have been one of the watch night services. I don't know. But he preached on that little thought out of Psalms where the psalmist said, help, Lord. Help, Lord. You ever find yourself there? I don't know how many times since he preached that message I just said, help. 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 Wouldn't it be crazy to fall off a cliff hanging from a root in the side of a mountain and hear people walking by and never yell out for help? If Jesus said He was an ever-present help in time of need, if He said He would never leave us and never forsake us, if He said we could cast all our care upon Him for He careth for us, hey, we need to yell, help, Lord! Sometimes we holler help because we want out of it. Sometimes we ought to just holler help because we want help in it. Yes, sir. Amen. All ye that labor and heavy laden, He said, come unto me. You'll find rest for your soul. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. He said, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hallelujah. Yeah. We're going to face the calamities. We're going to face those difficult days. But I'm glad we don't have to walk through them alone. Then He gives this little statement. He said, but be of good cheer. But be of good cheer. I thought about another person who made that statement. Was the Apostle Paul. I believe it's Acts chapter 27 or 26 when the ship's going down and they're lightening the ship and they're throwing things overboard to keep from sinking. And Paul hears a good word from the Lord and he stands up in the middle of a ship that's sinking and says, be of good cheer.
Amen, brother.
What are you talking about, be of good cheer? What are you talking about, be of good cheer? Everything's going to be all right. That's what he said. Yeah. Oh, we're going to lose this ship. She's a goner.
Yeah.
She's going down. But we all going to make it. Don't jump out yet.
That's right.
Just hang on. Why? I done talked to the Lord. He said it's going to be all right. And the Lord said, hey, be of good cheer. Yes, you're going to have conflict. Yes, you're going to have battle. Yes, you're going to have difficulty. But be of good cheer.
Amen.
Now that just doesn't set with human reasoning, does it? If I could foretell the future and say, you're going to have a horrible day tomorrow. Whoopee! I don't think none of us would shout or get happy about it. We probably wouldn't want to get out of bed in the morning. Amen?
Amen.
But Jesus said, be of good cheer. We can find comfort in the midst of the conflict.
Amen.
Amen. We can get help. Ashley Hofford is out there tonight pouring her heart out to those teenagers. Over 12 months of surgery and chemotherapy. She stands before them out there tonight, cancer free. I didn't look at her notes and I didn't look at her outline, but I guarantee you she's telling them something like this. Even when I ache so deep in my bones and it didn't matter how much pain medicine they give me, it still hurt. And when my hair fell out and when my eyebrows fell off and the chemotherapy was cooking me from the inside out, God was with me. Guarantee you she is. Why? Because I've heard her say it before. I've watched God give her peace in the midst of one of the most human struggles anybody will ever face. Brother Freddie and I went to the hospital together a few years ago, and he didn't want to do it. I had to make him. I wasn't crazy about doing it, but we had to sign and witness something for Miss Judy. I'll never forget what she said to me that day. We was fixing to pray before we left. Here's what she said. Preacher, don't pray for me to get better no more. Smile on her face. She said, I just want to go home. You know what the Lord did? The Lord said, okay, enough's enough. Come on. You say, why come every story isn't an Ashley Hofford story? Something's got to take us out of here. I wish they all were. I wish Judy's had been. I wish David's had been. Many others down through the years. I wish Sister Rhonda Reeves' story had been different. But I bet they don't. Did y'all hear what I said? I bet they don't. I bet they wouldn't change a thing. If the Lord said, I tell you what, I made a mistake, first one I've ever made. I got you too soon. You got to go back to that old body. Not on your life. I ain't leaving. Amen.
Amen.
Grab hold of one of them pearls on that gate and hang on for dear life. Amen. Don't you send me back down there to live with Ray Price. Not for a second. No. Hallelujah. We can find comfort in the conflict because of this last statement. Because he's already took care of the conquest. He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He didn't say I'm going to overcome it. He said, I have overcome it. It's settled. It's took care of. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Because this world in which you're going to have tribulation, I've already overcome it. Wow. He's already took care of what I'm fretting over. Isn't that something? He's already provided the means necessary for me to make it what I'm fixing to go through that I don't even know about yet. He's overcome the world. Let's stand our feet together.